time.
Okay, folks, this is Elvin Shamrock here once again for our bi-weekly teleseminar. And again, because we have new people signing up every year session, the way it works, we've got a couple of people who have sent in some questions regarding issues and concerns they've got on their case list, and I'm going to go over them with you folks today. It's unscripted outside of the fact that I've received these caseless questions, and I reviewed them very briefly, and an unusual list of questions, but I think there's a fair amount of relevance to anyone and everyone who's listening in. So with that out the way, let's get straight on with this. And let's see if they're with us or not. Kathy, I think Kathy said she won't be available. She's on call. Kathy, are you there by any chance? Hello, Kathy? Kathy's not with us. Okay, what about Ariana? Ariana, are you there? Or James, are you there? I hear a lot of silence. Not the end of the world. Okay, what I'm going to do... I'm going to just read the questions as they wrote them out in the email to me, and then I'll go ahead and answer them. So let's deal first with Kathy's. They can obviously listen to the reserved archives and pick up what I'm saying. She writes on patient one, I did a hysterectomy with my partner. We both did 50% of the case and were both involved in the workup outpatient before going to the OR. My hospital listed me as an assistant, but because of her complication, she doesn't say what the complication was, and I wasn't sure if ABOG would want it on there. During the case, she had an air embolism and coded. That's interesting. She's now doing fine, and we got ROAC, and she's doing fine now, and her post-operative care was with my partner. So look, there are really two issues here. Number one, many of you have partners who know that you're taking the exam, and they want to help. So they invite you in on, classically, a GYN case. Come in and scrub with me, and you can use this case on your list. And it's well intended, but strictly speaking, it's not your case. The case belongs to you if it's in your name that appears on the hospital administrative sheet. So she doesn't say it exactly, but it sounds to me like this was her partner's case. And she did a lot of the management of this patient, but strictly speaking, it's not her case. So in that circumstance, I tell candidates, if it's an interesting case, if it'll allow for a worthwhile, interesting conversation for the examiner, and it will revolve around a topic that you're comfortable to discuss, then put it in by all means. You're giving ABOG more than what they're asking for. This is an unnecessary case. You're giving it to them nevertheless. You're giving them more. I just don't want you to give them less. That's a big no-no. So if you want to use this case, by all means, go ahead and use that case. But because it's strictly speaking not yours, don't rely on this case to count as one of the minimum of 20 cases that quote-unquote count towards your minimum of 20, because strictly speaking, this case doesn't count. So you've got to have 20 cases outside of a case like this With that proviso, I've got no problem with this at all. So that's point number one. The second thing that's interesting here, and half of you in the audience are thinking to yourself, oh my goodness, do I need to know how to code a patient? And my response to you is twofold. The short answer is no. And the slightly longer answer, which will make you feel much comfortable, do you honestly think your examiner would be comfortable to run a code? And the answer to that is clearly not. Now, having said that, you're not expected to run a code, but you aren't expected to say just the most bare minimum. If you just say A, B, C, D, you know, airway, breathing, cardiovascular, drugs, and call for a code, that already is more than they would expect you to know. So the actual issue of the code, if you can say just one, maximum two sentences on that in the exam, that's good enough. And in this case, with that one proviso, I don't know what else is in the case of this hysterectomy. But if you want to use it, go ahead. If it's going to give the examiner something tangible to sink his or her teeth into, you're actually helping your examiner. So I have no problem with using these kind of cases. But again, please make sure you have more than 20 cases 20 cases or more without relying on this particular case. So that's the first question. The next question that Kathy asks is as follows. My next question is related to my hospital privileges form. When I sent it in, I forgot that sometimes I operate at a different location within the same hospital group. I had only done one case in October that I forgot about. Now I'm going once a month. What do I do? So, you know, you folks make these occasional oversights. It's not a problem. What I wouldn't say to Kathy, which is what I would say to everyone, you're way before the deadline. There's no problem here. Send a letter to ABOG, to the exam department, and say, this is what happened. Can I correct this, or how do I correct this? You're being open, you're being honest, you're being upfront, you're doing it in a timely manner. And not only that, the biggest thing is that they can't accuse you of trying to hide anything, because you're spilling the beans in front of them. So put it, not a telephone call, put it in an email. And I can't give a guarantee as to what ABOG would do on anything. But given the experience that I've had through candidates over the last 25 years, I can tell you with this kind of thing, ABOG is very good and they are very obliging. So that's what I would do. And if any of you have an issue like this, do it right. Be open about it. There's a bit of a question mark as to what to do after the deadline for case submission has passed. That's a bit of a more sticky issue, and I'm not going to get into it now. But all I'm saying at this point in time, before the deadline for submission, if you find an error and you feel for whatever reason there's a need to correct something, and you can't work out how to correct it on your portal, then give ABOG an email, ask them, and then just follow their instructions. So that's the short answer to Cassie. Now, the next candidate is Ariana. Now, Ariana sent me a case, and I'm just going to read it to you. The question about this case is really a good question. She says, I want to make sure I write this case out appropriately to my advantage. And those last three words, to my advantage, are really so important. And I want to drive it home to all of you that every single case of yours should be written up in such a way that it will generate conversations that are to your advantage. So, Ariana is not online with us, so I can't do this fully well, because I really need to. I don't know, for example, what topics Ariana would like to have in the exam and would like to avoid in the exam. And I need that information to be able to really do a good job on this case. But that being said, let's just go through it in general terms. I'm first going to read out what she wrote, and then I'm going to go back and nitpick. And there are lots of little things that you folks will pick up that you'll be able to apply to all of you. So this is a 35-year-old Gravida 3 Para 1 at 39 weeks, 3 days. Her pregnancy is complicated by obesity, a history of postpartum hemorrhage, a history of C-section times 1, current breech presentation, and she declined an external cephalic version. She writes that she developed severe preeclampsia with a delayed postpartum hemorrhage on postpartum day number 11. She was given uterotonics, and she developed a consumptive coagulopathy. She got a heme consult, a gyn onc consult due to an abdominal wall abscess. And on post-op day number 5, because she's in the peripartum hysterectomy category, I failed to mention that, which immediately makes this a very exciting case, a peripartum hysterectomy. So on post-op day number 5, status post-hysterectomy, she got a general surgery consult and wound care management. Other treatment was obesity management, low-dose aspirin, MFM consult, repeat C-section, TH, bilateral salpingo-oophorectomy, abdominal wall debridement on post-op day number 11 by gyn onc times 2. And also by general surgery and an 11-day stay. So there's a lot here. So let's go through it. First, a surprising number of you folks have postpartum hysterectomy on your case list. It's always a tragedy to lose a uterus in this condition. But you need to be comfortable to say in the exam, this patient was sufficiently unstable due to infection, due to anemia, due to hemorrhage, due to coagulopathy, whatever it is. She was sufficiently unstable that I was more concerned with saving her life than saving the uterus. And once you said it's a powerful statement, and once you've said that, it makes everything else far more acceptable and agreeable. So I encourage you to mention that. Let's go through the individual points that she mentions up. She mentions obesity. Is that relevant in this case? Well, normally I would say no, but because she had an abdominal abscess with general surgeon onc involvement, I think absolutely that must go down. The history of postpartum hemorrhage also relevant to this presentation. History of C-section times one, you can't leave that out. And then she had a breech and declined external version. I think that's also totally appropriate to mention. Just by the way, any time any of you have on your cases the word breech and or successful, attempted, failed, whatever, external version, if you got breach or version on your cases, you, regardless of what happened in that particular patient, you must be comfortable to talk about vaginal breech delivery and external cephalic version. Both of these subjects, by the way, we are going to talk about at length at our definitive board prep course. We know historically that virtually every one of you is going to come to that course, and we've got you covered. These are critically, vitally important sections. Every single one of you, whether you've got a case on your list or not, must be comfortable with a conversation on vaginal breech delivery and external version. Okay, moving on. She says that this patient developed severe preeclampsia. Now, I'm going to be a little picky here, but the term, and a lot of you have this issue on your case list, the term severe preeclampsia, even though we use it very frequently, it's an old term. It's probably 10 years old or more. The correct term is preeclampsia with severe features, and I would encourage you to use the correct terminology. So those of you who don't have it, change it on your cases. It's very good. She's given utrotonics. Everything else here, I actually think everything that I read out is very nicely laid out, and I think it's all appropriate, and nothing is redundant. Obviously, you need to know the workup and management of postpartum hemorrhage and with hysterectomy backwards. That's probably the most commonly ask question in any OBGYN board exam. You got to know it cold. And again, we're going to spend about an hour and a half on this one topic at the definitive board prep course. That's how important it is. So please make sure you know anything and everything about PPH, including blood component therapy. Very, very important section. And then this case is fine. The only other thing I can mention is, even though gyn onc and general surgeon seems to be the one who dealt with the abdominal wall abscess and debridement, it's not unreasonable that you folks should be able to talk just briefly on this management. You don't need to go to town on this. Just a one or two sentence discussion on what you would have done if these backup services were not available. And then this really is a straightforward case. additional thing. Virtually all of you have obese patients that you're taking for surgery. Many of you have them with laparotomies. In those cases in particular, you've got to be able to discuss verbally in the exam, how did you decide and why did you decide to do a fan and seal or a midline infraumbilical or a malar muscle cutting incision. That's number one. And in each of these three cases, be able to describe how you would close each layer. What suture material do you use? Which layers do you close? And what stitch type is it? Continuous locking, non-locking, etc. And what suture material would you use? So it's a pretty straightforward question, actually. Even though it's a peripartum hysterectomy, it's a straightforward case. And again, it's a magnificent case that if you're well prepared, you can really shine. So that's how I would handle that case. We move on to the third candidate. This is James, and this is his question that he writes. I was wondering if it would be still possible to ask a question, even though I'm not present. Okay, this guy is in the South Pacific. He must be in the military. He asks the following. On my case, I have a few scenarios where a patient delivered outside the hospital. However, when they arrive, I'm still providing the care to deliver their placenta, manage their bleeding, and repair any lacerations. In addition, even though the delivery is not completed by me, I'm still writing their delivery summary in electronic medical records and on an order of the hospital records. It would appear that I'm the delivering provider. Is there a certain way to report that on my cases that is preferred by the examiner? What do I write to explain these circumstances? And he suggests born out of a sepsis or unplanned out of hospital birth, or any of these would be absolutely fine. So in the delivery column, I would write vaginal delivery or VD, and in parenthesis, out of hospital birth or born before hospital arrival, or whatever words you want to use to describe it, you put that in parenthesis, and then you continue the rest of the case, putting down whatever information is pertinent. And the conversation that might come from a case like this is simply, what are the risks to a mother not delivering in a hospital? And by the way, they can also ask you what's your opinion regarding delivery at a birthing center. And I speak open to correction, but many years ago, maybe 15 years ago, ACOG had a committee opinion on this, and they pretty much were saying they don't support home birth and out of hospital birth. You want the patient to be delivering with an OR just around the corner. So the question would be, what risk is this patient? What morbidity is this patient at risk for? And then, given the fact that she arrived after delivery, what do you do with a patient like this? And those are basically the only two questions they can ask you. and it's a pretty straightforward discussion. I actually personally think it's a little bit boring for the examiners. So don't, unless there's something really exciting in the history besides the fact that she was born before arrival, it's probably not something that the examiners are going to latch onto. So keep that in mind. But just, you know, the general principle when writing out your cases, just be open and honest. That's all you need to do. And yeah, just anywhere along the data that you input, just say patient delivered at home, or you know, whatever the case may be. All right, so folks, those are the three candidates questions that were submitted. Firstly, thank you to them. I again want to encourage you to volunteer to be on the hot seat, because if I can talk to another person and interact with them, that's when there's the maximum benefit to be had for the individuals asking the questions as well as for everyone listening in. Folks, let me just check something. I think it was the day, you may or may not have received some email, but I'm just checking up something very quickly here. It was either yesterday or the day before. Here, let me find it here. Hang on 1 second. 2026. Here we go. Yes, on the 29th, 2 days ago, the testing dates were released by ABOG. So if you want to know what month you're being examined, you can go into your portal and you'll find it there. And I believe they may have given the specific date as well as the month, but I'm not sure about that second part. But check it out. Go onto your website. You'll get that information. It came out 2 days ago. Okay, and with that out of the way, folks, that's pretty much it. I'm just trying to get back to where I need to be here. I can't even find it right now. Bear with me 1 second. Here we go. Our next teleconference. Here we go. Next teleconference is on the 14th of June. That's today, 6 weeks. And we'll do this all over again. Please invite your friends to come and join. I hope you found this helpful. And again, we'll meet again on the 14th of June. Thank you so much, everyone. This then concludes our teleconference. Bye-bye.